You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Brigadier General and Stellar Tap, they are heads apart. They've got four lengths on Vodka Mardini, who is running in third. On the outside is Predicted. Immokalee now gains ground, coming through down at the rail. Farther back, it is Martini and the Moonshine. And then Keep Calm, Carry On, as the field comes off the turn and enters the stretch. And it is Stellar Tap who has the lead here over Brigadier General. Stellar Tap is in front as they come down for the eighth pole. Stellar Tap is the leader. Then Brigadier General and Immokalee. This is going to be a Saratoga memory for the ages with this victory by Stellar Tap. Steve Asmussen is now North America's all-time leading trainer.
Well, welcome to this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with two gentlemen who are always more than happy to share their opinion. Trainer Dale Romans, fresh off a two-win day at Churchill Downs yesterday, and turf writer Tim Wilkin, who did not settle a winner yesterday, and he currently stands about 2,100 wins behind Dale Romans in the standings. Guys, good morning. Happy to do this again.
Yeah, it's good to be back. This is getting to be fun.
All right, guys, happy to have you with me. I Ask, They Answer. We just heard the call of Stellar Tap, who is going to be the 3-1 morning line favorite in today's Grade 3 Iroquois at Churchill. That's a race that our friend Dale Romans, who is with us now, has won four times, including each of the last two editions. He'll try to win it again later today. But Stellar Tap is going to be forever linked to his Hall of Fame trainer, Steve Asmussen, on a whole different level, regardless of whether or not he wins this race or any other race in his career. It was his maiden-breaking score at Saratoga on August 7th that provided Asmussen with milestone win number 9,446, which made him the sport's all-time wins leader, surpassing the late Dale Baird. Dale Romans, as a trainer who has saddled exactly 2,100 winners, reaching that milestone yesterday, I'm going to start with you. When Steve Asmussen finally decides to end his career and hang it up, is this a record that is never going to be broken?
I thought Dale Beard's record would never be broken. So, but somebody's going to have to work awful hard for an awful long time to pass him. And, he's liable to double it. Who knows? He's still going strong.
Timmy, how about you? You think this one will be broken?
You know, I was looking at some records in sports. And, everyone says records are made to be broken. But no one's broken Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak, 56 games. No one's going to break Cal Ripken's games played. Wayne Gretzky has the all-time record for points in the NHL. And what Steve Asmussen has done is just, it's mind-boggling. I mean, he's only 55 years old. He's got 9,000 whatever it is wins. And there's no one really on the horizon that's going to catch him. And the thing with Asmussen is he's got so many darn horses. I mean, like today, for example, he's running 14 horses around the country at five different tracks. Who else does that? I mean, no one. I think that as long as he keeps getting the horses that he's got and he keeps winning these races, I don't know how anybody is going to catch him. And you look at the purses that he's won, the money he's won, $366 million, whatever. Dale Baird only won $35 million. Obviously, he was racing in West Virginia, and he wasn't getting the big stakes horses that Asmussen has had. And also, if you did a talk earnings, Todd Pletcher has more of your earnings than Steve. But as far as the wins he's got, unless the only guy that I can think that can beat him is Dale Romans.
I don't want to work that hard. I see how hard he works all the time. He has said that he's going to back down some after he got the record, but none of us believe that. I don't think he can.
Yeah, it's just a phenomenal feat that, I don't know how he could have much of a personal life when he's got so many horses at so many different tracks and he's always going somewhere to watch him run. I mean, it's a record that I really don't think will be broken, at least not in my lifetime.
Yeah. Well,
but I never say never either.
it's certainly unbelievable. And like Dale said, he never thought Dale Baird's record would be broken. Well, it has been, and there's a new leader in the clubhouse, if you will, in Steve Asmussen. All right, let's move on to the next topic.
Hey, Mike, can I ask one question to Dale Romans?
Go.
Dale, I noticed there's a horse that I've always been interested in of yours that's running today, Dennis's Moment. Can you give me a little update on him?
You know, Dennis is doing great right now. He's had his ups and downs, and of course, stumbling out of the gate, the Breeders' Cup as a two-year-old at 3-5 might have been a low point in my career, but he ran huge the last race. He got in a lot of trouble, still came back and ran big, and I expect him to run well tonight. I mean, it's a tough race, but he's an awfully talented horse.
I mean, with just to stay on that for one quick second, Dale, when you have a horse like that and he doesn't live up to those expectations at the start, how frustrating is it? I know he was frustrating to you.
Oh, it's extremely frustrating. There's a lot of pressure put on because, you know, he's such a popular horse and he is so talented. But I'm telling you, when he stumbled out of the gate, he got a little jammed up, but I think it mentally affected him. And it took a long time to get him back to where he is today. But I thought that last race was pretty spectacular. And we know he's got tons of talent, natural talent. And I hope he runs huge tonight like I think he's going to.
All right, here's my question.
It's incredible how many times he's drawn to one hole, though.
Yeah, here's my question for Dale. Dale, I know that you are tied with Bill Mott for most wins all time in the Iroquois, and you've won each of the last two runnings. Do you make it three in a row later tonight?
Yeah, you know, that horse is a talented horse. And, I mean, there's some horses on there, better speed figures and stuff, but if you watch, look at the race close, I think he's the livest closer. So if we get a lot of pace in front of him, I'd like to make it number five.
All right, maybe it happens for Dale Romans. Maybe he is at the top of that list later tonight. We'll see. All right, guys, let's move on to the second topic that we have here on I Ask, They Answer. Stronger Than You Know was absolutely stronger than her competition in a 5-furlong allowance victory at Monmouth Park on September 3rd, but hold all tickets. She may have had help in overcoming that late deficit as jockey Thomas Mejia was found to have an electrical device in his hand when entering the winner's circle. The Monmouth Board of Stewards handed Mejia a 10-year suspension, fined him $5,000. In addition, the stewards referred the case to the New Jersey Racing Commission with a recommendation that Mejia's license be permanently revoked. So I'm going to ask you both, is a decade-long suspension and a $5,000 fine enough, or should the New Jersey Racing Commission do even more?
Tim, you go first.
Well, man, when I saw that picture, I couldn't believe it. I mean, how stupid is this guy? Putting a buzzer in his hand, and with the way social media is, the way photographers are, did he really think he was going to get away with not anybody seeing it? I mean, that is just incomprehensible to me, and I pray to God that the trainer didn't have anything to do with it either. He's seen anything about that. But I think you got to throw the book at him. I mean, because, you know, with everything that's going on in Jersey, I know that the new rules with the riding crops, they can't use them except for safety. And I know that these jocks are trying to do anything they can to, you know, they got to put food on the table for themselves too. But you don't use a buzzer like that and knowing that it can end your career, which it looks like it has done for Mejia. I mean, I think that whatever he gets, I have no sympathy for him.
I agree. You know, it's no different than stealing. Run better, and the jockey next to him didn't have a sheep. Then he just stole that guy's property. No money from the owners. It's no different than somebody. Stole him out for life.
Yeah, I think I got to agree with that. I mean, it's you know, the evidence is right there. It's right in his hand. You can't.
Right. I can't believe he wasn't arrested. Fixing the outcome of a sporting event or something. It's crazy. And if, you know, I don't know. That's been an argument for life if it makes a horse run faster. But you don't, you take away the whips, nobody can encourage your horse, and you're using that to encourage your horse. It's got to make a difference.
I mean, they're doing anything they can now because they're trying to compensate for not having a whip, and but that isn't the way to do it.
Do anything you can legally. Don't steal from everybody else. What makes you so much better that you can get, you can go do something illegally or just because you're dumb enough to drive? You'll make more money. You'll get it's all bullshit. So it's very frustrating thinking somebody
Yeah, and frustrating too for those of us
It's much different than a little bit of an over illegal medication that's used. It doesn't affect the outcome of the race. Something like that could make the horses go third. Get rid of it. Next topic.
Yep. Next topic indeed. How about this one? The new synthetic Tapeta racing surface is just about completed at Gulfstream Park. The multi-million-dollar project, which also includes a new drainage system, is going to make Gulfstream the first paramutual facility in the Americas with three distinct racing surfaces, dirt, turf, and now synthetic. Smart investment by Gulfstream or not? Dale, let's start with you. All right, having a little trouble listening to Dale here, trying to get a hold of him. Dale, hold on 1 second. We'll try to fix that connectivity. Timmy, let's go to you for this one. Smart investment by Gulfstream or not?
Yeah. I mean, the more surfaces you have, the more horses I think you're going to get to be able to run there on different surfaces. I mean, the Tapeta is, I know it's been backed up a little bit because they were going to start earlier, but they got to wait because I think that they're waiting on a rail to be shipped into Florida, so it's going to be a week away. And while then they're still working on the turf course, but once everything gets all straightened out, I would think that you're going to have so many more betting opportunities and with horses coming from different locales that they do anyway to go to Florida. And with the three different surfaces, I think it's a win-win for everybody.
All right, I think Dale's back with us now. Dale, good investment by Gulfstream or no?
I don't know. I hate to see them tear up that beautiful wide turf course they had. I know it got overused. And I'm kind of in the ballpark that we've splintered racing so much with so many different categories for different types of conditions and now surfaces and horses are becoming so specialized. I think it adds to the smaller field size. I think its primary reason for being there is if it comes off of the turf like it does in the summer so much, that they'll hold horses in by running on the synthetic. If that happens, it's going to be a good investment for them. I don't want to see all these races in the condition book, extra races for horses on Tapeta, inner Tapeta, inner grass, inner dirt. Eventually, you split it up. There's not enough horses to fill all the different types of races. But if they do use it as an off the turf fixing that problem, then it'll be a good investment.
All right, well, that's topic number three. Two more to go. Here's topic four. Last week I asked both of you if Luis Saez is the best jockey in the game today coming off of that riding title at Saratoga. Let's spin it a bit differently here this morning. If you absolutely had to win one race, of course, Dale's a trainer, Timmy is not, but he is a fan of the sport and he writes about it. Which jockey are you choosing to ride your horse? Dale?
Joel Rosario, short and sweet. He, to me, he rises to the occasion. Of course, Johnny's won the biggest race of my career for me, and he's awfully strong too. But if you're gonna make me go to war to win the Kentucky Derby, and I could pick any jockey and any horse that I wanted, it would be Joel Rosario. I think he finishes strong. He doesn't have a flaw in his riding, and he's, you know, he's just a great, great jockey.
Timmy?
Now, this is like any jockey in history, right?
Any jockey in, yeah, you can pick anybody you want.
Oh, well. Born in history. It has to be active jockey, Timmy.
Well, I thought it was going to be any jockey.
Okay.
Well, Timmy, who do you like?
It's kind of hard to leg up Eddie or Carroll right now.
Well, I know that, but I'm just. But of course, this is all. This is all speculative. So I'm thinking. All right. Well, I'm.
Maybe someday I'll have the right to make that decision. I'll have a good enough horse. I can just pick whoever.
Well, if I had to pick any jockey from history to ride a horse for that I was going to bet on to win for me, I'd pick Jerry Bailey because I thought he had the best clock in his head of any jockey that I've ever seen. And you know, his record speaks for itself and what he's done. But if you want to make it just a current jockey, well, I'm going to take Irad Ortiz. I think he's fearless, tenacious, does whatever he has to do to win. I just like the way he gets a horse into position. But again, that would be on the dirt. If it was on the grass, I agree with Dale, because I think Rosario is the best grass rider in the world.
Well, Dale, you know, Jesus Castanon is not happy right now.
Oh, is that right? He's one of my favorites, if everybody knows. Listen, they're all good friends of mine. There's so many great jockeys out there, as we talked about last week. It's splitting hairs with any of them. I just didn't want to be a cop out, and so I'm gonna stick with Joel. But if we're going back into history, you got to give me Pat Day. We've had a lot of good success together. He's springboarded my career just riding him early in my training career, and he's a great jockey. But I was out with Angel Cordero at Saratoga one night earlier this year. And, you know, he talked to people about who the greatest jocks of all time were, and he's a student of the game for sure, and his name's always brought into the picture. And he says Eddie Arcaro. He said Arcaro changed the game. He said he was the first one to start jacking his irons up and getting in the squatted position changed the people emulated him, and that's why he says he was the greatest jockey of all time.
Well, he was certainly the toughest. I mean, how many times did he get hurt and he just bounced right back up? I mean, there were a couple times he didn't, where he missed time, but boy, what a tough guy he was.
Yeah. And it's a fun conversation to have with different riders and, you know, some of the greats I get to hang out with. And just sitting talking horse with an Angel that night, I think we stayed up till about out just sitting talking to about midnight about great horses and horses he rode, horses he got to see ride or run, and riders he rode with. And it's a lot of fun. I've had that conversation with a lot of great jockeys.
Angel wishes he could still be riding today.
Had a big win with a guy named Ramon Dominguez out there in California, Little Mike.
Great jock. He has to be. I can tell you a quick story about that, too. One time at Saratoga, they brought in all the Hall of Fame jockeys that were living. I think there was only a couple of them that missed out. It was a really cool event, Tim. I'm sure you remember it.
I remember it.
And I walk outside, and Ramon is standing there, and he's like, it's Christmas Day. He's so excited. He said, you won't believe who I was just talking to. And he said, I'm talking to Georgie. I was talking to Angel, Lafitte. And we're all just standing around over Jacinto. All just standing around over there talking. I said, you silly son of a gun. Don't you realize you are every bit as good, if not better, than every name you just reeled off? And he looked at me kind of funny. And he says, I think that you're a little biased because we did something special together. And we did, but that's not true. He was as good as anybody who ever threw a leg over a horse.
Yep, I love it. All right, we got to move on. We're down to the final minute and a half here. So last topic, this should be fun. Both of you come at this from opposite sides of the fence. You know, almost as soon as the winner crosses the finish line in a big race, it often turns into chaos trackside from a media perspective, because you have various outlets attempting to talk to winning connections and even the connections of the horses who were beaten. Should racing set up a more streamlined and structured process for post-race interviews, or is the current system working? Dale?
The current system works. You get raw emotion when they cross the wire. No press conference. Go watch the Breeders' Cup press conferences or watch the interviews immediately after the Winner's Circle. The Winner's Circle, you're always going to get the raw truth and emotion, and it's much, much better. What we need to do is have some of these people, like yourself, come up with better questions. Now, that's what we need to do. And then if we don't soon, I'm going to drop this program. Goodbye.
My goodness.
The ultimate mic drop.
But the thing is, with this kind of thing, after a race, it is chaos. It's just especially trying to get losers, and losers are all ticked off when they don't. There's no. I think they should have a little bit of a cooling off period, because a lot of times you won't get anything out of them. And following jockeys through the crowd is not a professional setting. I mean, I think that. They do it. The Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Breeders' Cup, they do all that stuff. I think that they should do it for all Grade One races. They should have some kind of media thing where it's structured, where you're not just tripping over yourselves and going through and banging in the fans trying to talk to these guys. It's just it's a tough thing, and I'm going to start asking Dale Roman's tougher questions then.
We'll start that next week. Tim Wilkin, Dale Romans, I Ask, They Answer. We're back at 10:30 Eastern next Saturday as well. Timmy, appreciate it, my friend.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Mike. It's always a pleasure to talk with Dale.
All right, we'll talk again soon. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.